Hi there, and welcome to Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Garrett on Empower Radio. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate your time. Hope you're having a good day. Hope whatever's going on in your life is positive. And if not, you know you can fix that. So there you go. And today, we're going to reconnect with somebody we talked to earlier. Peter Anthony is the author of a book called Keymaster. And he's a whole lot more than that, but that was our focus last time. We talked about the book. And basically, it was introduction into his life and a near-death experience. And one of the people I spoke with earlier, Becky Hawkins, she had referred me to Peter and said, hey, you got to talk to him. And he's got a great book. So that out of the way, all right, get the book, read the book, you're good. But that's what we're going to refer to, is some of that book and then his life. The near-death experience does make a difference for most of us who have these transcendent experiences. Our life changes. It doesn't have to be near death. It has to be some kind of a compelling, unexplainable, all of a sudden things just take you out of every reality form that you thought you had figured out and give you a whole new view of awareness of what is and what might be. So it's really cool. And that's why I love talking with Peter, because he has these little epiphanies, and he also has TV shows and other projects in the works. So you might know him from that. Sightings is one of the shows he was with. And Peter, okay, let's catch up. Since we last spoke, you've been busy.
I have been busy. And again, to your listening audience, I'm so touched and deeply honored that I get a chance to speak to you guys again, and also to Wendy. I have been shooting a paranormal show for the last 9 months. It's being pitched overseas. We just actually finished taping this morning in the mountains of the San Jacinto Mountains. I rushed down here to to get into my spiritual clothes and sit down and have a conversation with you guys. But we've been shooting a paranormal show. And part of, I think, the experience for me, and so many of us who've had these near-death experiences, we come back with gifts. I call them great gifts. And part of my gift I came back with was I had the abilities, many abilities, as not only as a psychic, but as a remote viewer. And I think of 7 years of finally digesting my near-death experience inwardly, I worked on a homicide case as a serial killer, a copycat killer, which led me to sightings, which led me to traveling all around the world as a ghost chaser. Many call me Ghost Scholar. And I was pitched this show months ago. It's given me the chance to kind of utilize this gift the way I'd like to. And so I've been quite fortunate to be able to, the working title right now is called PSP. So again, very fortunate to do this. And I encourage all of you who have had near-death experiences or out-of-body experiences, or what I call the awakening. We all come back with gifts. Whatever those gifts are, I call it the authentic purpose. Use those gifts. They're here for a reason.
When you talked about this in the beginning, I mean, did it take you a while to hit the ground running?
Yes, it took me a great question. And let me tell you why, because many of us who've had these, it takes a while. Usually it's 7 years of recovery time. And mine was spot on, exactly 7 years to the month. And part of that recovery time wasn't so much the physical, though I certainly had to get the physical back in line again. I was diagnosed of a secondary cancer, and I had perforated viscus. So not only would the recovery dealt with losing eyesight, not being able to walk again, but that wasn't the difficult part for me. The difficult part was learning to utilize the gift that was given to me and not listen to the naysayers. I mean, the doctors, the therapists, you know, your friends, your family, all doubted me. And I began to do my homework, and back then we didn't have Google, so I began to go to the library and do my research. And part of the gifts of a near-death experience, or the awakening, I call it, you come back as a different person. And part of that different personality affords you the opportunity to utilize these gifts. I came back as a numerologist, lost the ability as an artist. Can't paint a stick figure, and I had an art scholarship, but I came back.
Oh, yeah, that's a huge redirect.
It's a huge shift, and I also was an introvert and came back an extrovert. So there was a complete, you know, 180-degree turnaround for me in terms of person, in terms of gifts. And so the recovery time for me was not about the actual physical, but was about how to make this work in my life and what can I do with it. And, you know, I think once we're tuned in and accept the gift, which I denied, and so many of us do because of our family and what I call the opinions of others, once I tuned into it and learned to really believe what was happening in my life, that's when everything began to unfold. Everything kind of serendipitously just unfolded. The homicide case led me to a television series. A television series led me to writing a book. Writing the book led me to doing lots of paranormal shows and also spiritual shows. Led me to radio talk shows. I'm working on my third book. So I think, as I said, for those of you who are on the fence about what you can do with this, you know, I always say, turn to the source, turn to God, however you perceive God to be, and ask, how may I be of service to the universe? And those signs will come up. They will show up definitely in your life.
When you work with your abilities, what is the most, for you, the most profound?
Trusting that what has been given to me in my aha moments is spot on. And that's hard because, you know, we balance between the right and left side of the brain. You know, the left side of the brain is the logical, the methodical, the organizational part of our brain, right? The right is all about intuition, the intuitive side of the brain. I've had to learn how to work with both sides of the brain as a paranormal expert simultaneously. And that has been, to me, the greatest challenge and the greatest gift. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, because the logic and the illuminated are sometimes just complete opposites.
Well, they're in complete opposite of one another. They conflict one another. You know, the right side of the brain says, yes, do this, trust your instinct. And the logical side of the left brain wants to go, well, prove it to me. I want to see it. Is this really happening? How would I know I'm not crazy? I mean, you know, we go into that whole logic and reasoning, and we, before we know it, we reason ourselves out of a situation or what I call the truth.
Well, for me, when you say logic, the immediate assumption is, what will everyone else think? It's not even, it's that whole paradigm of external affirmation or validation that throws it completely off track. Because even in the science realms, you have to be approved and board certified and this other whole nother area of people who only have a certain context of how their belief system works. It has to do this or it isn't real. And they're usually about, you know, 25 to 50 years behind the curve. And so you're stuck in that limitation just because you want, when you desire scientific validation. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, for me, it was about the doctors. It was about the therapists. It was about the family. It was about the relationships. Their opinions mattered more than mine. But then when all these people in my life were expressing what they thought, I thought, well, now who had the near-death experience here? Me,
yeah.
Or did you guys? And what was shown to me on the other side, and we go back to other people's opinion, I learn on the other side, it is that my opinion matters more than anyone else. I'm not talking about being selfish. I'm talking about that moment of when you know something is right. And sometimes it's going to a party, and you walk into the room, and you go, you know, I don't think this is going to be such a good party. That's called intuition. You know, or you meet somebody, you know, I don't know about this person. That's intuition. And what I've learned to do is take the intuition, and the more you open yourself up to your intuition, the more information flows in. And it flows in when you go into the first moment that it hits you that you know. That's when you don't doubt. You know, we've all been there. We've all known that when something happens, I just knew I shouldn't have done that, or I knew I shouldn't have gone down that road, or I knew I shouldn't have gotten in that relationship. That's your inner voice speaking to you. And now my voice leads the way.
Can I suggest, too, that when you are trusting this, it doesn't always mean it's going to be a bed of roses. Because I remember I had a very profound meeting with a person who was going to be extremely important in my life. And I knew at that moment, I knew it was like, oh, darn it, darn it, darn it. This is the person and this is not going to be easy. And it wasn't a projection. It was a realization of it was going to force me to change in ways that I didn't know if I was ready or that I could, but I knew that this relationship was a critical turning point in my life, and it changed so many things in the way I relate it physically, spiritually, you know, metaphysically to the world, that I really think that if I hadn't had that relationship, I wouldn't be able to make a lot of decisions looking at the bigger picture rather than saying, okay, is this going to, you know, am I going to make more money? Am I going to have more friends? Am I going to have a better house? You know, it just, that totally went out the door. It was like, is this authentic? Is it real? Can I trust this? And I learned that from that very difficult relationship.
What I learned in my personal relationships and being in the television film industry for so many years, over 26 years, there's this thing called judgment. You know, sometimes the people we're working with are like our bosses or our coworkers, or sometimes even our relationships. You know, we have that judgment attached to them. You know, my boss is not a very nice person. He doesn't believe in any of this. And I thought, you know, I just need to surround myself with metaphysical people only. That doesn't work. What I've learned to understand that every person that is in my life is either a principal player in my own particular movie or a day player or an extra. And what I've learned through life is sometimes those people in the background, those extras, became the pivotal characters of my life. Those are the ones that teach me the most. So if you look at it from the perspective that everybody that is in your life, from the person at the pharmacy to the person that's on the elevator to the person that says hello to you as you're walking your dog and to the person who's sleeping side by side with you, always plays a pivotal role in your awakening or in your consciousness. So rather than the conflict of relationships, I embrace whatever challenges those relationships bring me. Now, it takes me a while to get there, but once I that moment, and once I listen to my intuition and go with my divine choice, no matter what happens, it always brings me back to the miraculous. And that is something I've had to practice. And I'm going to repeat that again. That is something I've had to practice. It doesn't come overnight. It doesn't come over a month or 3 weeks or 4 weeks. That's why I think so many affirmations fail and the spiritual community gets kind of upset. Well, I did all my affirmations and it's just not working. Because when you're doing a true affirmation, if you're coming from truth, if you're coming from authenticity, if you're coming from integrity, if you're coming from your aha, that divine voice, then you go about your day and know that the miraculous is already paved. But if you send that thought out and doubt about the relationship or doubt about the job or doubt about the money coming in, you create the very thing you're doubting about, even though you think you're tuned in.
Well, part of it is because in doing that affirmation, you're solidifying whatever that emotion is. So even though you say the words, if you don't believe and have that sense of integration within you that, okay, I am, it is, it will, it comes, it, you know, I allow, instead of, oh, I hope it has to, you know, all of that grasping.
Well, I always say stop attaching to the attachment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just real simple, and that's, we all do it. I'm guilty of it. Just because I've had my near-death experience doesn't mean I go back to old patterns. What I've learned is, it's almost like, you know, when you paint, or when you go outside and take a walk, or you ride your bicycle, or you jog, you know the path already. But, you know, every day I embrace something new and different, whatever path I'm taking, and I trust. That's why lack of consciousness is going on throughout the entire planet. We don't trust. And that's where we begin to doubt. That's why someone else's opinion is a lot more, you know, more important or more valid than our own opinion. And I say, erase that. What is more important, your happiness? You know, or I say, what is more important, your peace or someone else being right about their opinion? I'd rather have peace.
Yeah.
So go to that thing called peace, and that's how I base my decisions. And again, I'm not doing it 24/7, but when I find myself off the beaten path of my centeredness, I know how to go back to centeredness. And it's a practice. It's day in, day out. Sometimes it's minute by minute. Sometimes those conflicts, those relationships, even strangers that we encounter along the highway that are rude to us, you know, when we're at the grocery store, sometimes those are our best lessons. So, you know, it's not about us being spiritual and being in our aha moment. The truth of the matter is that if you're going down the busy highway at 5 o'clock in the rush hour traffic, you know, and you're responding to the conflict on the highway, are you at peace or are you in conflict? And that's when you're doing your homework. If you can stay at peace during 5 o'clock rush hour traffic or standing in line at Walmart, and no matter what's going on in front of you, just go, you know what, I'm okay. It's all right. Let it go. And trust. It's starting with the little steps and working to the bigger things, like those, like finding a job or finding the perfect relationship. Allow God to take over in the driver's seat. And just what I've learned, I'm the passenger now. I let God lead my path, and I just show up. I trust the people, I trust the places, and I trust the situations, because if I put it out there, it's already miraculously paid for me. And I just have to trust that, no matter what happens.
For me, I get little bits and pieces of guidance. I listen to it throughout the day and, you know, act accordingly or not, but it helps. And yesterday I had this little nudge saying, this is going to be a day like unlike any other. Well, okay, that could be said every single day. All right. So yeah. All right. Well, all right. So something about it I was supposed to pay attention to. On the way to work, what I'm doing is I'm in a traffic that there's a guy behind me who's really in a hurry, and he tried to go around on the other lane, and the person there was doing less than the speed limit, which I could see ahead of time because he wasn't looking that far. He's just looking directly in front of him. And then he switches over behind me and tries to push me. Well, we're going in an area that's a residential place, and I know I really don't want to go any faster here. And actually have some karma in this area. So I like, this is a place I watch. Well, so I'm, there's four lanes of traffic, two one direction, the other coming at you. And I see this little, I see a car start to pull out in front of the car on my right side. She's tentative. She kind of is going slow, but she's decides at some point to commit. She's got two cars coming one direction, two cars coming the other, and I am in the lane with this guy dead on behind me, and I'm thinking, there's absolutely no way. And so I quickly pump the brakes, letting him know, because he's within maybe, 15, 20 feet of my bumper, he's going to have to stop. And not knowing what's going to happen, because if he doesn't stop, he's going to plow me right into her. And what she's doing, I see this face. She's an older woman with another woman in her car, and they both have these deer in the headlight look at me because I'm going to plow right into her door. And I can't go in the other lane because there are two cars coming that direction. She totally underestimated and then froze. And I'm thinking, as I'm sitting there going, and I'm saying out loud, no, don't think about it. Don't, and this angst, I'm feeling the angst. And finally I say, as she somehow miraculously doesn't get hit. And the guy behind me, I see his eyes too, as he's going, he's able to stop. Nobody hits him because he was going way too fast. They weren't behind him. The whole thing just kind of segued as I'm yelling, not yelling, but out loud saying very, very, shall we say, emotion full of, you are so lucky. And that's what I'm saying. So people might have looked at me thinking I was, cussing, but I'm thinking, you know what? I just said how I felt and how I hoped she knew. And the guy behind me who I kept, if I had gotten out of that lane, he would have plowed into her and it would have been a whole different story. But since I stayed in my lane and let him be annoying and wouldn't let him go around.
Share something as you're going down this path. And for all of you people who are listening to this story, this is an amazing, this to me is my homework. Brand new car, not even 1 week old, on the road going to an appointment. The lady runs a red light, runs right into my car, basically just smashes the right side, right? I was furious. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go green, all right? I get out of the car. And at that moment, I could feel the anger. But I didn't go there. And what happened, she apologized, and I said, I'm on my way to an appointment. She said, I'm so sorry. What appointment was it? And I told her I was, on my way to a booking. And just so happened, this woman gave me a huge job on a film project.
You never. And you wouldn't have met any other way.
Our first response is to go to anger, is to go to emotion, is to go to, if you take a deep breath and just sit back and let the event unfold, even if it's a crash, trust that the divine universe is bringing you to this person for whatever reason. Maybe it is a homework assignment. Maybe it's about our emotions. Maybe it's about a job. Or, maybe it's nothing more about being something that happens at the dealership. So, as I said, it's the judgment we have attached to it. And, we get caught up that moment and we don't know what the lesson is. So whether it's the car accident, whether it's the relationship, whether it's the job, whether it's not having the rent money, whatever it is, no more attachment to it. Let God do his work and you and I just show up and trust.
I was so glad because where I was in a position to be the buffer.
Yeah.
It took me to be the buffer. And the minute I knew that that happened, I thought, oh my gosh, if I had let him pass, I knew he was in a hurry, but I knew there was no way in this particular time that it was going to happen for him.
Yeah.
And I wasn't angry. I was just noticing, making note of my circumstances and my position in the road. So I knew, what was going on. And it was just, for this, it was such a fun thing to know that here I am saying, when people are thinking I'm cussing around, I'm going, you are so lucky, and feeling so relieved and thinking, oh my gosh, I just told myself I was so lucky, as I told her she was lucky, and the guy behind me, he was so lucky, instead of where in the past I might have had this, a real indignation or rage or projection that everybody was crazy. I was feeling like, oh my gosh, things happen in the ways we don't expect when we just say, there's a reason I'm here. there's a reason I'm here. I'm going to make the best of it.
Yeah. Well, I always say let conflict become your miracle. Let it change your life rather than resist it. You know, and these ripple effects of new thought. And again, we go back to this is a homework assignment. I start daily. It begins with my gratitude walk. You know, I always start with my gratitude walk. I always say thank you for the things that have happened. And I go to my list of all the amazing things that happened the day before. And I bless that. And then I allow the universe to guide me to my next, my three-course meal, my next event. And that's, you know, for me, that's my sacred way of thinking. And it's taken me years to get that. But now I'm telling you guys, it changes your life when you hand it over. Just trust.
Okay, now, when you do your numerology and the other gifts that you came back with, mm-hmm. how does that work? For these kinds of events, do they give you a heads up or a clue?
Well, you know what? I look at time. I look at the day. I look I study astrology, numerology, and the tarot. So I'm constantly reading my horoscope because, you know, horoscopes are nothing more than what I call road signs along the highway. And, you know, when you look in your horoscope, oh my God, it said I should be cautious with driving today. And I say it's after the fact. Well, what I've learned to do is my roadmap starts with what I read daily. And so I've learned to use numerology, numbers, math, as my guiding post. I've learned to use the full moons and the new moons and the where the planets are going retrograde as a point of reference. And you know, I listen to the experts, I listen to other astrologers, other numerologists, and unless you're around this 24/7 like I am, you know, it sounds like we're kind of like copping out. Not for me. I totally trust that everything has divine purpose. I just trust that the universe, the planets, the stars, you know, even the encounter in the car is all divinely part of my time clock. My time clock. And as I said, we go back to what are the lessons for me to learn today? You know, what I do when I start my day, okay, let's go see what God has in store for me. That's how I live my life. And that's how I changed my life. You know, and that's the difference between, you know, worrying and having an agenda to trusting in the spiritual age of awakening. You know, I welcome my day. And it's, I don't have the attachment anymore like I used to. I just, you know, okay, let's go see what's in store for you today. What lessons am I going to embrace today? You know, how can I meet a total stranger today and bring happiness and love and kindness to their day? And you'd be surprised, the more and more you do this, the more and more miracles show up in your life. An example like that woman who gave me a wonderful booking. So, you know, I just trust that these things come to me because they're divinely led to me. It's my piece of cake. I don't worry about someone else's piece of cake. I just basically embrace, this is my piece of cake. This is the job that's been given to me today, and I honor it. I thank it. I bless it.
Okay, now we're going to have to take a break here in a couple of minutes,
sure.
But I want to get back. When we come back from the break, I would like to ask about how you deal with the haunted houses and the energies and the entities and the beings who show up for those kinds of events. And because that's you're an expert there. So let's tap into some of that expert awareness and knowledge. How's that?
Perfect.
Okay. So in the meantime, we also want to find out just a little bit more about this project you've been working on for 9 months. Because that sounds like fun.
We'll talk about that.
Okay. All right. So if you're listening, Peter Anthony Visions is the website, peteranthonyvisions.com. You can check out the blog. You can check out his background. And you can check out Keymaster at Amazon.com. Okay. Or Barnes & Noble, just probably to get a review or background or a little piece of what's in that book. You can check it out. But remember, all of this is our work in progress and on progress. We have all sorts of wonderful clues on our path. And some of these things may be pleasant, some may be unpleasant, but it's our reaction and our response and our awareness that gives us the ability to make it work in a way that we can learn from and value. And Peter, again, we're like a minute away. If I ask you to do a reading for like the fall, the change in the season, the change, can you do that as well?
Mm-hmm. I definitely can, yes.
Okay, because it's spontaneous, and of course this is going to be in a record mode after a while. But no matter when you're listening, these things all play a part in how we read our puzzles and we read our clues and our signs and we work our own magic. I love it. I have these cards that I use, lots of different kinds, but I always look for the new, the novel, and I intentionally in some of my decks I'll put in like a card that's a blank or has no meaning whatsoever to remind me that expect the unexpected. Be open to the unknown. Because when you think you know it all, you lose. All right. Once you realize you never know it all, then you go, oh, wow, this is new. What can I learn? What can I learn? So we're learning from Peter, okay? Because he's got all sorts of new and novel and creative and inspired. And if you are just a tad interested, maybe some enlightenment. How's that? We'll be back in just a few. Peter Anthony on Empower Radio. I'm Wendy Garrett. Thanks for tuning in. We got more coming your way.
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg.
Ha-ha, I win. Whoa! Ah!
Sassy! Johnny fell down the well.
I'm wet.
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl. What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold.
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound, health, and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and theshelterpetproject.org. Remember, adopt!
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on, and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet, and sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See, that's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing, don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you, the enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, is that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hi there. It's Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Garrett. Thanks for tuning in. My guest today is Peter Anthony, and you have so many talents that you can use. Is it hard for you to focus?
You know, no. In fact, it's funny you should say that because, you know, we in our business, there's this thing called the CEOs, the suits, even the exec producers. And they said, well, you know, we just need to kind of pigeon you down to as just a certain type of psychic, like the long, medium psychic. I said, well, I'm not that. And I said, I'm multifaceted, multi-talented. I said, look at me as the Da Vinci of psychics. They got that. And... you know,
that's
it's like
a good
you, it's
one.
Like,
yeah,
you know, just, they so got that, and so I think we're all in this space right now where you know they try to, you know, to bring us into one way of thinking. You know, they kind of dump us all into this kind of new age wacky world, and it's not that at all. I mean, there's so much interesting stuff that goes on in what I call the unknown world. I call the eyes of truth beyond belief, and I think part of what I'm doing right now has really taught me to tune in to there is not only another side on what we call the NDE side of it, but there's a whole other side of what I call beyond the logical, beyond the eyes of truth that happens in our world day in and day out. And part of that, as a psychic for me, as I said, is learning to trust what I call the videos, the aha moments that come to me. And for me, you know, when I go on these ghost huntings, when I go on these ghost sightings, when I go on unsolved murder cases, I have to trust that the videos that I'm getting in my head is telling a story. And, you know, imagine all of you who are thinking, well, now how did you do this? Well, what I do is I look at it as though I'm fast-forwarding on my DVD remote control, and I have all the images in front of me. Now, I can kind of guesstimate what I think I'm seeing, right? As can you when you're seeing the image splash before you. But as I've learned as a psychic, one of the most important things I do is I learn to listen with my eyes. And that's, you know, bumping up that awareness. You know, a good example for all of you want to bump up your psychic abilities. Take a walk anywhere, park, you know, me, mountain hiking, you know, going to a pond and find something that you're attracted to or something that just is you're drawn to, like a leaf, or maybe you see a duck. Close your eyes. Visualize it in your mind and open your eyes without looking at the duck or the leaf or whatever it might be and describe it exactly as you've seen it. And once you do that, you'll find that you can go from 5 seconds to 10 seconds to 30 seconds. Well, your mind sees everything. And that's what I've learned to do. Every moment my eyes are open, my mind is recording. You're nothing more than a video camera. I've just learned how to tune into my video camera. And so you practice day in and day out. And part of that practice day in goes back to this thing called peace. You take your breath, however you meditate. I mean, I tend to go into my Buddhist way of meditation, and I close my eyes. I do the seven sacred breaths of compassion, and I find something that really touches my heart. An example, I'm an animal activist, and also for children and women that are abused. And I focus my loving thoughts on those people, those animals, those things that need our attention. I open my eyes, and there before me is a brand new, brilliant world. And you'd be surprised. It's like when you've walked into a beautiful home that you're looking at for the very first time and your eye just goes an overload. Oh, my God, this is such an amazing place. That is how I lead my life day in and day out. I look through the eye of a camera. And once we tap into that, you'd be surprised how you're able to take it to the next level. And I've only just, as I said, I've done this for so many years now. It's second nature for me to walk into. An example, we were shooting at Al Capone's secret hideaway in a place called Two Bunch Palms. And I kept saying, his spirit is here, his spirit is here. Ghosts come out at nighttime. We went back to the hideaway. We found the hideaway where he was hiding from the law. And I went into my seven sacred breaths of compassion, focused on a thought, and boom, we caught on camera what we call the blue orbs and the blue mist all around us. And so that lets you know that there is another world going on in our own physical world. And I'm just learning to use this talent to a level that has not been done before. Many psychics have the ability to read cards. Many psychics have the ability to do astrology. Many psychics have the ability to do tarot readings. I've learned to tarot, numerology, astrology, remote viewing, clairvoyancy, and basically working with the forensic team has taught me many great things. So I'm very blessed. As I said, once you understand these gifts that have been given to you, then do something with them. And it's just learning to work with the brilliance of the mind, the brilliance of the soul.
Okay, When you're doing this expanded sound or this expanded work, this enhancement to your abilities, do you experience a shift with reality?
Bingo. Absolutely. What happens for many of us, I call it the split screen reality. Once you're in that deep state, an example I'm working on, we just filmed this morning the sacred Indian trails, and you get the images of the Indians that were here, you know, back in the 15 and 16 and 1700s. And what I discovered when I was seeing, I thought, why am I seeing these Indians persecuted? And all of a sudden, we find out the truth is that these Indians were like they're called the Kuili, were like the Hopi Indian, and they used their psychic abilities to heal their tribesmen. And yet, what I saw, I couldn't understand why I was seeing the Spanish soldiers coming in and murder them. We come to find out that it was Balboa who came in and tried to convert them to Catholicism, and he massacred them in this road where it's like the main highway in Palm Springs. And so, as I said, you learn to trust these images and you learn to go within. And I can't really explain it other than just trusting what I'm seeing and, you know, not allowing the busy mind, meaning the logic, to take over, just whatever images come through, allow it to tell me a story. And I let it continue telling me a story until I have what I call a complete vision of what I think is going on. What's more fascinating is once it's been done and we go back, we talk to the segment producers and they've done the research, they're always amazed. How do you do this? How do you know this? Split screen reality. I live in the present moment when I'm taping. I'm also back in the 1800s or the 1700s or the 1920s. It's just part of the gift that's come back with me, and I've just learned to use it to the best of my ability. And we all have it.
When you go to a place that has an active haunting, an active engagement, how does that work? Does that go home with you, or are you able to
leave
it there?
Yes, it does. It goes home with me. I'm working on, right now, we've been working on a haunted toy store. And when I showed up, literally 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I discovered it was a girl's spirit. She died upstairs, and it used to be a general store and post office back in the turn of the century, 1900s, right? And I got in, and I began to have difficulty breathing, and then I could feel her going through me, and then I began to smell the sulfur, which is not such a good sign. I mean, that's what I call the smell of death.
Yeah.
And then she began to talk to me in the best way she knew how. Once I went upstairs and found the poltergeist, meaning the tunnel that spirits enter and exit, once I found that, I could see her. And so we start a conversation, and the first thing I do is ask, do you have a name, and what is your name? I didn't get the name right off the bat, but when we went downstairs, and I was going back to the bathroom, there was a row of all these sweet little girls' barrettes all lined up on, you know, in this little display rack, right? I'm going to the restroom, and just right in front of us on the camera, this little barrette pops off the shelf, turns over, and lands in front of my feet with the name Rebecca. And I realized her nickname was Becky. And once I established the name Becky, she began to communicate with me. It's just fascinating. So, you know, for those of you who are having encounters with spirits at the house, you're hearing things are kind of going bump of the night, don't be afraid. Speak to them. They are haunting you, or meaning the place, for a reason. They're trying to communicate with you for a reason. And what we typically do, we go, ah, because we've been programmed with so many paranormal shows and movies, it's the scare effect. And what I'm trying to do here is, when there is a haunting, when there is a sighting, as we call it, that is haunted, it's there for a reason, and the spirit has not passed on towards the light. And it's my job to help them cross over. Just go back to the series Ghost Whisper. That's what I do. I whisper to the ghosts.
Okay. The reason I ask is because I was getting and am continuing to get all sorts of popping and crackling and different echoing sounds on my end. I asked the producer, do you hear any of this? Is this going on? Usually what that means is there's an overload of energy, and it's around either me or you, my guest, because of this transmission. We are getting more than just a telepathic connection. We're getting an energetic connection.
All we are doing when this happens, imagine your hand on the turn knob on a radio player or a CD player, and all we're doing is fine tuning to the exact station. And where most of us get messed up is that we are not tuned in to the right frequency. And so it's teaching us how to tune in to the exact, if it's 9.7.8, tune into that frequency. It doesn't say spin the knob around until we think we find it. Go exactly to that. And that's what the ghosts, the spirits, the angels, the entities, the walk-ins, you know, even the alien, if you want to call it that, are they try to communicate with us through sound frequency, through color, through math. And so that's why I pay attention to everything I do as a paranormal expert. It comes down to the address. We found a haunting, and the actual address is 740. 74 is 11, and it's suite number 11. So what we have here, 1111. So right off the bat, I know that there's a haunting there. We have another address called 970-something Palm Canyon. 9 and 7 is what, numerology? 16.
Yeah.
So I've learned to tap into math, I've learned to tap into the audio, and I've learned to tap into what I'm seeing, what I call the visions. And again, it goes back to the basic exercise of how do you do this, is to tune in and day out, and it begins with thyself. Tune into what you need work on. Tune into your homework assignment. And also tune in to, I always say, how may I be of service? That's a biggie for me. What can I do today to be of service to the universe? Rather than I want the money, I want the job, I want the boyfriend, I want to lose weight, I want to move away. You know, that's low frequency, that's lack of consciousness. What I teach clients, and I'm teaching the paranormal forensic team and the crew, is trust in what you're seeing. And just and maybe this is for an example. I worked with this director who was a non-believer. He was an atheist, and everything that could have gone wrong, this man filming me every day was a nightmare. To the point, by the time we finished, he was a believer.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He saw what happened, you know, with the footage. He saw what happened with the audio. He saw the spirits on the other side. You know, so imagine if we're catching this on tape and there's no soul connection to it. Imagine if you do use your soul, your soul frequency, to connect to these things on the other side. It's amazing. So tap into your angels. Tap into your guides. You know, and also tap into the people that are crossing your path, because what I learned, the people that are crossing your path, you don't know that they're not an angel. Maybe there's a message for you today. Take the time to be kind to the homeless person. Take the time to say hello to the person at the car wash. Take the time to say hello to the person that's on the airplane. That's where I had my encounter. Easter Saturday, when I was in a hurry, and I was a keynote speaker, and I was going to Houston, Texas to speak to 2,000 people, and I was in a hurry. And what happened? On the airplane. And I finally realized, you know what? You need to be nice today and not worry about what you're going to say. Talk to this individual. And what an amazing event it turned out to be. So slow down.
Well, that was a good tease. So what happened?
What happened? I'm writing about this in my second book. The second book is called The Accidental Prophet. And this is a continuation of the Keymaster Trilogy. But this is how once I clinically got myself together, and physically, mentally, and spiritually, I began to utilize the gifts. And it takes you on a journey, the reader on the journey of Ethan, the main character, meaning me, and how I learned to use these paranormal gifts that I came back with, and becoming the punching bag on national television. I was doing this way before any other people were talking about near-death experiences and angels, on the Jerry Springers, the Sally Jesse Raphaels, and how it was being debunked. And now, all of a sudden, people can't get enough of this information. Back in the 90s, it was all about the drama and the showcasing and debunking all the great spiritual people, what I call the veterans of our time. And so I've learned, as I said, to trust, to trust, to trust, to trust. I'll say it again, learn to trust within. What's within you is always spot on.
Well, I love it because my guides have always said somebody has to go first. You're going to get over the ridicule. You're going to get over the derision. You're going to get over all of the outcast energy and do what you do because you can. And that's it. It's the whole thing. It's if I can do it, I can do it. I have to be willing to say it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks because this is my job and this is how I work. I do what I can and we go forward.
Well, you've been selected and you embrace the call. You see, many people are called, but many don't go forward. That's
well, it's daunting.
Well, but, you know, it's a big responsibility, and you and I both know that, because, you know, you become the public figure. You know, I'm kind of like Frodo. I'd rather have my tea and my second and third breakfast before I have to go out in the world, but I realize somebody's got to do something here because the planet seems to be going in the wrong direction. And so if there's something I can do, as I said, even talking to a wonderful sweet lady on the street, you never know how that one comment, that one compliment can change somebody's life. That happened to me. I made a conversation, open conversation in an elevator. I was out of town during the Christmas holidays and saw this guy in the elevator. Fast forward, the last day on my way back to California, I said, I hope you have a Merry Christmas. And this guy turned to me. He said, you're the first person that's ever spoken to me at this gym. I've been here 6 months. And he just said, in the parking lot and cried and told me that he was going to take his life that night. He made a decision to kill himself. And if it hadn't been for me being kind and taking the time to speak to him, that he would have ended his life. And when I went back to Texas, there was this guy at the gym, happy-go-lucky. That one moment of kindness that we, as I said, when we're reaching out, you never know. So as I said, everybody that's on the street is a part of your play, your movie. Take the time and extend your kindness and your compassion to that person that you see on the street. You never know that you're that very person that could change or create drama in their life, or karma, as I say, in their life.
I want to go back to your little engagement with the toy store person, because I've had the yes. toy store thing too, and it's a very active place in our area. One of them, it's had several incarnations. They haven't been able to, I mean, it's sold 4 times in the past 5 or 6 years since I've been aware of it. It's an incredibly active space. Well, part of that is with this kid energy, this child energy. They don't have the same boundaries. And so this morning when I was dreaming, I'm thinking, what the heck does this dream have to do with me? But I knew it was a message. In the dream, I'm walking through a room and I see 2 adults on the bed. They're naked. I realize that's not my business. I keep walking forward. I'm following a guy who wants to show me something at the dresser. He's trying to give me some kind of information or have me give him information. And I'm dressed in my mother's dress. I realize this is a mom's dress, and I'm trying to put it on, and it's pink and white with shoulders that are a lower shoulder with a square. Like a bodice. And in the back, it has this really cool bustle. And I realized you can hide things in this back bustle. And that was what was really important, was to keep little things hidden, toys and things like that. So when I got bored, but she was going to have to shorten the top, the shoulders. And I thought, what is this about? And it was this little child who wanted to give me information. And I'm thinking, why does this make sense? And so then in this interview that you and I are having, all of a sudden the child energy comes through. And I'm not saying it's connected to your specific situation.
Oh, no. But can I ask you something?
Talking with you, it's like, aha, tag, a clue.
So what I sense, and the first thing that comes to mind, is how do we know that you're not tapping into a past life and you're not that child walking in and seeing your parents and experiencing, you know, the dress, you know what I'm saying, and going back to a period of time? I mean, I'm just, that comes to mind. Or, you know, and I think the obvious for those that are on a metaphysical journey, you know, that playfulness. You know, sometimes I think when you take the responsibility of leadership, sometimes we have to go out and play as children.
Well, and I'm playing so, dress up too. You know,
yeah,
playing,
just go have fun, get out and do something silly and frivolous.
Role.
Yeah. So, you know, there's many messages there, but what I would ask you to do, God, show me what you want me to understand about this vision. Why this toy store? Well, toys obviously represent playfulness, and it's a playground for children. You know, think about it. As a child going into a toy store, I mean, as a child, your mind is, oh, my God, you've gone into a candy store. Toys from every corner of the store just are calling your name. It's playground. So, you know, what is your playground? What's going on in your immediate playground now in your real world? So that's my sense of this. And then, of course, you will get bits and pieces of what relates to your aha button, and you'll do something with it. But I can guarantee, as we say back home in Texas, you'll find out what's being said to you.
Well, and there's one more factor, which
sure.
isn't fair. It's the world's most haunted house. I was reading that, and it's about the poltergeist on Lindley Street. Mm. All right, which has to do with the hauntings that occurred around a Native American child, a Native American
yeah.
young woman, which that energy is incredibly intense. But so all of these things going into and then connecting with you when you're working with active ghost stories and going into this one thing I stayed away from once I dealt with a guy whose son had been murdered and saw what was going on with that. I decided, you know what? I really appreciate being able to help people with this, but this energy that comes along with doing that kind of work is so incredibly dense and intense.
It's taxing.
I figured I would focus a different direction.
Yeah. Well, you know, I stopped doing homicide cases because that was grueling for me. You know, as a psych kid, I have to go in and kind of reenact the murder.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, when as a psychic, when you've tapped into that what I call that genius side of your intuition, and you're actually, you know, seeing what's going on, you are feeling, you know, whatever is going on at that moment. So I bowed out of that. It was too daunting for me. And I don't mind the ghost. I did have something with Al Capone and also the little girl when I went to use the restroom, and she came up from behind in the door. And we're in a store that was built in the 1920s, right? So this bathroom, the door opened and creaked, you know, and I like, oh, yeah. My God. And I could feel her around me, and I couldn't use the restroom. I stopped and went up to break. She's here in the restroom.
And yeah.
They took pictures of the restroom. I was like, well, she's here. It did scare me. I'm not gonna lie to you, okay? It was kind of daunting.
Well, that's it. Because the thing for me is when you're dealing with those people who have all this tremendous karma around them and this drama and this incredibly dense energy, then you, in order to get a perspective or a view, you go into that. In some ways, it's really difficult to get it off of you. You get slimed, so to speak. And
you
so you have to raise your vibration to out of it. And sometimes when you're taking on, when you're overwhelmed with cases and you have other people coming to please help me, it's like, wait a second, because you don't even have to go into the case at that point. It comes to you and knocks on your door and sits there and waits for you to get off your duff and go help. And it's like, no.
There's an interesting movie for those of you who are listening to this, and I suggest that you watch Ghost again with Whoopi Goldberg and Demi Moore and Patrick Swayze. There was a lot of truth in that movie, as much as it is hysterically funny. But, you know, the calling of the spirits, what's happened, I've filmed so many hauntings in the last 9 months, I mean, every week. You know, I'm having some very unusual things going on in my home.
Yes, you are. And I'm telling you, get some cleaning action going because you've got company. And they're very vocal, and they're trying to upstage a few things and just to remind you that house cleaning is very important.
Yes. You know, I put on Mozart, I get my vacuum cleaner, and I eat lots of garlic, and that's how I, you know,
and your sage and your smudge. You just
my Mrs. Doubtfire moment, as it were.
Well, it's that thing of we get so immersed and we get so focused on doing our work that it can sneak up on you. And then when you start blowing fuses and you start throwing the electronics for an extra buzz and amplifying lights and stuff, you realize, oh, yeah, that's right. And it's not all negative. It's just a barometer.
It's the barometer it's actually the frequency. I mean, think about that, you know, when you are, the dog whistle. I mean, there's a frequency that the dogs are hearing. That's what I call the other side.
Yes.
And I'm learning to actually learn to work with that audio. You know, we had something happen last week at a park. I mean, not even a haunting, we didn't think. And you could hear this, shh, okay, shh. And I was like, okay. And
well, that's the thing. It doesn't have to be a haunting. It's everywhere. It isn't just in a house or a rock or a cave. It's everywhere.
Because every moment of our life, it goes back to the near-death experience, is a recorded moment. Everything is a recorded moment in your life, in my life. This conversation today is a recorded moment. Who knows when you and I, you know, check out, you know, years and years from now, and there's another interview going on, and all of a sudden they hear our voices talking. Who are these people talking? Why are they laughing and being so silly? You know, they're not able to figure out that story, but it's because the energy between you and I is so highly evolved and so highly, I guess, charged. And once that moment is recorded, it stays there forever and ever. Amen.
Yeah, it's an imprint. Imprint.
It is an imprint, absolutely.
Which is fascinating. You know, you get into this stuff and you start looking at reality in a new way, and you realize there's no end to this creation. It's a matter of just tapping in and going with your strengths and enhancing those things that you think might be in some way, shape, or form accessories that you can help. And you stop judging. You just saying, okay, what if? Instead of judging everybody and saying, well, you couldn't have had this experience, or that's not real, or this, you know, you aren't highly evolved. It's like, no, go away. go away. That's the judgment. That's the mind getting stuck.
Well, that's what
I
said.
I know.
Once you open your mind to the possibility that, you know, we live in a very complex world. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about the universe. Think about the planets rotating. Think about the galaxies. And think about all those thousands and thousands of universes and galaxies miles and miles away, and you come down to Earth and you think about worlds within worlds within worlds. You know, as I said, we haven't learned to tap into that genius side of our brain yet. We're still stuck in greedy consciousness. We're still stuck in money mode. We're still stuck in relationship mode. We're still stuck in so many things, and that's why I said as a clairvoyant, once you learn to bump your mind up to a higher frequency, you see another world that is just unbelievable.
It's awesome. Awesome. All right, we have to wrap. I'm sorry.
Sure, sure,
but
sure.
You've got this show. Are we going to see the show, USA? Stateside?
You know what? We are hoping. You know, we have some European prospects that are interested. We have some American prospects that are interested. You know, right now, what we're trying to do, and I say this as closing statement, I really want to take this to the next level. I don't want to do the boo effect and the scare effect as much as I want to explain why there are hauntings and what we can do. And, you know, because so many psychics have been boo-hooed as though, you know, the mask and the moo-moos and, you know,
yeah,
I want to show.
I know. Dressing the part. And so, all for
we
stage.
We have to get beyond that and get to the next level of psychic awareness.
Yeah, I'm a t-shirt and jeans kind of gal, okay?
Yes,
it's just the way it works.
Baseball hat, jeans and shorts and flip-flops.
Yeah, rock
yes.
It. Okay.
Comfortable, hey. California casual.
Peter Anthony, you are a delight. I really, really appreciate your information and the way you approach this, okay? So if you're listening, please check out the book Keymaster, check out the website, and just put a few little teases on YouTube, okay? Put a tease of your show on YouTube so we can start saying, come on, bring it, bring it.
How's We're that? Working on that right now as we speak.
Okay.
All right. Again, to all the listening audience, thank you so much for being a part of the program today. I so appreciate it. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you. And thanks for listening to Empower Radio and Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Garrett. Have a fabulous day.